Please stand for the gospel, if you are able. The gospel is Luke 9, verses 1 through 6. There's a word in here, staff. And in biblical times, the staff was a walking aid, but also a weapon as people traveled on strange paths and could be accosted by robbers. Then Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal them. He said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there. And leave from there. Wherever they do not welcome you, as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." They departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases everywhere. You may be seated.
Happy Father's Day. Think about our two sons and granddaughter. Remember my dad? This is kind of a dad sermon today, so my dad taught me a lot about faith. So, sacred and secular, for too long we've separated those. You know, sacred is all, you know, religious things, spiritual things, religious things, church type things, and secular is everything else. You know, and we've divided those things. Part of that is, I guess it's easier to think that way, to kind of organize our thoughts. Okay, this is a spiritual thing, this is a not spiritual thing. We're in church one day a week, you know, probably. Maybe we're here for other meetings and gatherings, and a lot of you are, I know, for small groups and things. So, do you ever have a sense that you're different when you're doing the religious things than when you're doing the other things? There's a little book that I came across a few years ago. It's called Monday Morning Atheist. There it is. It's a little orange book. There's a lot of pictures in it. So it isn't really saying that we're atheists exactly, except that what it's pointing out is this idea that we are not exactly the same in our work world, in our every other day world, as we are in our church and religious world. So how do we, you know, what do we do about that? You know, how do we start to bring that together? In Scripture, you don't really see Jesus going, and now this is the religious thing, and now this is not. He doesn't do that. You know, it's always the spiritual and everyday, you know, coming together. And I'm sure that's one of the reasons you're in church, isn't just to have your fix. I mean, sometimes we talk about that. We're coming here to get our gas tank filled. We're here to, you know, to be in a quiet place. This is a kind of a refuge. Yes, but we're not just a refuge. We're also a gymnasium, a spiritual gymnasium. We're working on some things. So not just so we can do church better, although that's part of it. But even more important, it's so we can do life better, so we can be involved in everyday life in a way that informs what we're doing and what we're thinking, how we're acting. You know, we can go about, you know, when we separate that out, we miss opportunities to live into our faith. And certainly, working through issues in our work life, use it in a spiritual way, can bring about the kind of transformation that you don't see in church. You know, it's life transformation, it's changing of thinking, it's changing of, it's healing, it's changing of lives. Fundamental message of this series of sermons, we're beginning a new series today, is that God sends his disciples out to be and to do something in the world. Disciples aren't meant to come and sit and be. Just be here. Disciples are meant to go out, to leave this place with the Spirit of God, with the message of Jesus Christ. Discipleship is the engine. Living it in everyday life is the wheels. That's where the action happens. That's where things happen. So we don't want to leave it here. You know, we don't want to get all kind of filled up and feel good and have a good... We want that, yes. But we don't want to just have it one day a week. We want to bring that into the rest of our life. We want to bring the values that we're living more and more into. We want to bring new thinking. We want to bring the kind of grace and love that Jesus has poured into us, into our everyday life. So we're talking about this as red letter discipleship. Remember in your Bibles, your old Bibles, Jesus' words were all in red letters, made it really easy to know what he was saying. You got one of those, David? All right, there it is. So I have a young friend that some years ago, she was in her 20s, she wrote down everything that Jesus said. She just copied all the red letters. Took a journal and that's all she did. That was one way of kind of internalizing Jesus' message. I think it did a lot for her. We're not going to do all that. We're going to look at two chapters for the next several weeks. Just two chapters. Luke 9 and Luke 10. So take a look at Luke 9, verses 1 through 6. Luke 9, verses 1 through 6. Heath just read that for us. But why don't we read this together? It's up on the screen. Let's all say it together, everybody, okay? Then Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. He said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. Wherever they do not welcome you, as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases everywhere. Everywhere is kind of a big word, isn't it? Everywhere. So friends, we are the church. We are the church, not just on Saturdays and Sundays. Not just on Saturdays and Sundays. Foundational statement for this sermon series is this. Missional church. That's what we're talking about. This is the missional church aspect of church, going part of church. Happens when disciples of Jesus Christ connect to engage their passions in the world. We're going to be unpacking that statement for these next several weeks. Missional church, that's what we're talking about today, happens when disciples of Jesus connect with God and with each other, connect with the world, to engage their passions. That's their callings. That's what what we're here to do, what God has given us, our gifts, spiritual gifts, our abilities and talents. Engage them in the world. In the world. We're doing all this so that we can take it out, is what it is. And what I love about this passage is it's Luke 9. This is not after the resurrection. This isn't like Jesus saying, now that you've seen all this and gotten it all together and have it all in place, I'm sending you out. He does send them out after that with the Holy Spirit, but this is before that. This is in the middle of the gospel, middle of Luke 9, and this is what I always think about this. They weren't ready to do that. If you had asked them, okay, now you've been around me for a little while, you know some things, you've been taking in this discipleship way of living. Are you ready to take it out? Leave here and go out and live that. I can imagine them going, nope, not us, not ready. Haven't been in church long enough, don't know the Bible well enough, haven't prayed enough, don't know enough about Jesus, don't about you, don't, all of our excuses, are woven in there, and Jesus' answer is, go. I'm sending you. I'm giving you what you need. You think you need all those? You don't need all that. When he says, don't take anything for the journey, he means you don't need all that. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to be perfect in this. He's not looking for that. He's expecting them to make mistakes, to not have it all, you know. But he's saying, I'm giving you, you have what you need now. You've been with me. You've been learning. You've been growing. You can do this. I believe in you. And he's saying to us, I believe in you. I believe in you, Glenmar. I believe in each one of you. I know you can do this. I know you don't have to stay stuck here. There's a tendency in all of us to want to just keep taking it in. There's a time to let it out. Luke 9 starts that turn. So he says for them to do two things. You know, here's another thing. If he was, we would have this long, you know, here are the instructions. You know, here's your booklet. Here's your, you know, some long thing of do this, 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 this. That's not Jesus, is it? Do two things. You know what the two things are? Two things. Preach the word of God and heal. He also says to do something about the demons, right? To cast out demons. That might be another sermon. We're going to look at these two things, which he emphasizes a couple times in this in this little passage. Preach the word of God. That doesn't mean go out and stand on, like in college, you had a guy that used to stand on the tables and preach during meals. That isn't really it, right? We're not supposed to be doing that. We're preach by that by preaching. He's meaning, you know, connect people with me. Let people know that I'm here. Let people know that God is here. That the kingdom is breaking in upon us. That we don't have to keep waiting and waiting for something else. We can know that God is with us, and because of that, we can live a certain way. We can live a life that is full of hope and joy and peace. That's what he means by preaching. Live godly lives. Convey Christ's values. Convey Christ's way of life. That's the preaching. And then he says to heal. It doesn't mean go out and become doctors. We need doctors and nurses, of course. But he's saying go and, you know, what do doctors do? They bring parts that are wounded and broken and hurting and lost together. They mend. You know, they knit back together. They bridge what was separated. They reconcile. They help, you know, something happen that wouldn't have happened otherwise. They bring together the pieces that were, you know, seemingly not connected. They see connections. They bring those about. They accept people. They appreciate people. You know, good doctors appreciate, you know that they're connecting with you, right? They're not just doing some technical thing for us. We need that. But there's also a humanity in this. In other words, it's who we are as well as what we do. There's where the healing comes. God knows the first disciples weren't perfect. You're not going to be perfect either. It isn't that we always have it together. That doesn't matter to God. So the first disciples were given a few instructions. Stay close to God. Don't take much with you. Another reason for not having all these things to do and to think about is that people are supposed to see that it's God that they're depending on, not all of those things, not the staff, not the, you know, tunic, the extra tunics. Those are all kind of symbolic. We don't need to think about them being so specific. It's the idea of don't take a lot of stuff with you because you're going to depend on that. That's going to be where you put your emphasis. No, put your emphasis on me. That's what he's saying. so. That's what he's asking them to do. So here we are. Instead of just agreeing with Jesus, yeah, that's what we need to do, Jesus. He wants us to go. You know, instead of just, you know, kind of going along, he wants us to go out. So two ways of being church today I wanted to kind of share with us. This is a kind of a way of thinking about church. And especially for this sermon series, I want us to be kind of aware of both of these ways of thinking about church. One is called the bounded set. A bounded set is when there is a boundary. It could be, you know, a church boundary. It could be a building boundary. It could be a way of thinking boundary, a cultural boundary. It's kind of like there's a fence around the bounded set. We're talking about what's going, there's inside it and there's outside of it. This is when we talk about inside church and outside church. And we talk about what's happening here and what's happening over there. That's bounded set approach. Those who are not in can be brought in, but we're going to try to help them become, you know, like us, you know, when we bring them in. You can think of a bounded set as a horse corral. Cowboys build the fences to keep the horses from wandering away. You know, we have some commonality here. Outside the fence is where wild animals and rustlers are. So there's a little bit of danger out there. Another reason why we're in church thinking about it being a refuge is because there's dangers out there and it's rough out there. And so we come in here where it's bounded and it's safer. So we come to enjoy it. The fence sort of is a safety thing for us, you know, for people in the bounded sense. And countries, families, individuals can all understand themselves as bounded. It's when we concentrate more on us, not as much on out. In fact, we don't go out that much, except when we, you know, need to. But then the idea is to come back inside. Bounded set has a lot to commend it. This is where we learn, where values are passed on, where we grow into ourselves. It can also become a trap because we want everybody to kind of be like us, to look like us, think like us, act like us. Go about living like we do. We're not comfortable when there's people who aren't doing it our way. We have our way. So bounded set church, somewhat like a horse corral in a way. There's the in and there's the out. Structures are important for bounded set church. We need structures. Didn't the bishop last week say, when there's no boundaries, run? Yes, we need to have some sense of, you know, of ourselves and how we're going to be. In the bounded set, we're conveying, you know, ethics and norms and values and traditions, and this is how we do things. Those are good things. I mean, we want that kind of thing. We need structures. Glenmar has characteristics of a bounded church. You can see that. We also have characteristics of the other way of thinking about church. And the other model is a centered set church. This was a bounded set, thinking about the fence and the corral, and we're inside the fence. In a centered set, the boundaries are not obvious. Walls are deliberately taken down. The building doesn't even look like a church. Fences are guides. There's no dividing wall between us and them. The dividing wall is very thin anyway. Fences are not meant to keep in and out. Everyone is loved, welcomed, accepted, no matter what. Everyone belongs. If a horse corral helped picture the bounded set, a watering hole in Africa, especially in the dry season, is a good picture for a centered set. Normally, those animals would not be together like that. But in certain seasons in Africa, the watering hole brings all the animals together. Normally, enemies, very unlike each other, different ways of going about living in the African plains. But at the watering hole, we are all one, because the center is the watering hole. That means that animals that live in this area won't stray too far from it, from the water. They may stray a little bit, but they're going to always come back, because it's how close you are to the water is the important thing. So there's no fences to pen them in, no cowboys to keep the peace. The draw of the water is enough, right, to bring them together. Centered set churches. How is this different from just a bunch of random people going every direction, you know, every which way, with no boundaries? You know, how is it not chaos to think of a centered set kind of a church where we're not focused on the in and out? We're more focused on what? We're focused on the center. Who is the center in the centered church? Jesus Christ is the center. And there's a picture of it. There's a lot of arrows going a lot of different directions on that slide, isn't there? Because we're going to be reaching, we're going to be connecting with people who are here, different, not here, over there, up there, down there, away, in. The focus isn't on the fence. The focus is on the well, on the watering hole, on what's drawing us all together, on what's calling us and drawing us and pulling us. People of all backgrounds and beliefs, even beliefs, right, are drawn and welcomed at the table to join in conversation, to move closer to Christ. There's an understanding that we're all always moving towards Christ. Some of us may be closer than others, but the idea is that we're heading that direction. We're heading towards it, and we all have room to grow. Sometimes there's a sense in the boundary church that we're there. We're in the boundary. We're inside this fence. With this one, it's we're all moving closer to Christ. It's a constant call for all of us. Such an atmosphere, there's room for people of all backgrounds, traditions, and cultures. There's a difference between walls. There's a difference between wells and fences. Difference between wells and fences. Wells draw people in. Fences keep people out. People in missional churches understand themselves to be little wells in the culture, bringing Jesus with us. Not much else. As we go out into the world, so that people might get a little sense of that living water, you know, that changes. It's the idea that that message is transformational enough, important enough, that we are always being drawn towards it, and we want other people to be drawn towards it. We are preaching the kingdom of God. We're little wells wherever we are. Glenmore, we grow toward the center, we grow towards Christ as we journey on what we're calling the discipleship pathway. Talking more about it, you've been working on it for some time. We're kind of bringing it out, which is great. So there's strengths to both models, aren't they? You can see that. You need to learn the culture. Happens in the bounded set. Learn about there's a lot to learn about Jesus, about the Bible, about living a Christ-like life. There's also a sending out. You have this so that you can do something with it, so you can be on the move. We are the bounded set. who are sent out in the church, as the church in the world, to be orienting people to Jesus and as the centered set. So I offered an invitation in church a few years, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And we were talking about a similar subject, but what I wanted to say was, folks, you are with me where I work here. You know what my world is like to a certain extent anyway. But I don't know what yours is like. So what I would like to do, since you're a disciple in the world, I would love to offer to spend a day with you where you work. You know, invite me to go with you so I can see what it's like to live what we're talking about today, right? How do you do this? What are your challenges? You know, you may be saying to Rod, you know, to me, easy for you to say, you're in church every day. You know, all your people are already thinking this way. Not so hard for a pastor, right? But for me, where my, you know, you're saying to me, and you, in my life, not so easy. Why don't you come and take a look? Spend a day with me, we'll talk about it. So going out of the door, woman says, okay, I'll bite. All right. I have unbelievable challenges where I am. Are you ready for this? I guess. I just offered. I'm ready to go. She says, I'd like you to come where I am. You know, spend a day with me. But I don't know that you're ready to do that. I don't think you're going to want to do it. I said, well, okay. Where do you work again? Shock trauma. Shock trauma nurse. Will you spend a day with me at shock trauma? See what my world is like. I said, of course. So I got to spend a day with her. I went down there. Oh, it was a Friday. Got there. Got to get there early. Everything starts early at shock trauma. So I got you. Okay. So I went in there, and they gave me my scrubs. And there I am. That's me on the left side. Do you recognize me? And there I am with Mary on the other one. Because pink means shock trauma, right, at the University of Maryland. You know when you see pink scrubs, you're shock trauma. So that was me. So I had the uniform on. She says, don't worry. They don't know you, but you're with me, and you're wearing the pink scrubs, so they're going to think that you're probably a state inspector. They're going to treat you really well. They're all going to like, whatever you want, sure, they'll be very friendly. So I said, and she got permission from the director and everything else, so I was down there for the day. Wow. I saw incredible people doing awesome things, putting bodies back together, things I had never even thought could happen. Unbelievable. The surgeries were miraculous. But even more amazing to me was the way that Mary lived her faith in that setting. Now, let me just talk a little bit about this. She prayed with people, including staff members. At lunch, she knew somebody was going through something. Can I pray with you? This is at lunch in shock trauma. And she did. It was great. But even more than that, there in shock trauma, there is an intersection of hallways. And everybody's always passing through that intersection. They have a whiteboard up there where they're constantly changing what's going on in what room. So room number one has such and such, the name, the surgery, the doctor, the nurses, all that's always changing. So people are always going through that intersection. So what does Mary do at that intersection? There's a little ledge in the hallway there, right at the intersection. She got one of those little dripless candles, those little, about this big. She puts it there. There's a little candle burning, little candle that's always there. It's the light of Christ. Sometimes she takes, the other thing she does, sometimes she takes her iPod and she puts it there and she plays music. Quietly in the background. Doesn't do it all the time, but she's creating a little bit of a space, a little bit of an environment a little bit of peace, a little bit of Christ, a little bit of God in the world, a little bit of light in a place where there's a lot of darkness, as she says. We're surrounded by darkness, you know, by all the, well, you know. So how effective is all of that? She has a coworker who says she's atheist, she's a professed atheist, who told Mary when the you know, candle wasn't there, where was the candle? I missed it. I need to have the candle. I missed that. One time, I think she was on vacation, that woman put the candle there herself because you need that. That's not much for the journey, folks. That's a little candle and a little iPod. That is not a lot of preaching big stuff, sermons, whatever we think we aren't, you know, don't know what to do with. This is just finding little ways, little cracks, little opportunities, little ways to do that. To live your faith, to take what, to go out. As Jesus says, he sends us out to simply be a little bit of his presence in the world. Got to process all that with her. What was cool was she didn't really see what she was doing. That's what we need to do with each other, is listen to what each other is doing and say, yes, do that. That's a good thing. Do you know when you do that, you're helping people, you're reaching people, you're making a difference? Oh, I hadn't thought about that. She was just kind of doing it because it seemed like the right thing to do. It was another aspect of healing and preaching. Notice how both of those went together in what she was doing. So mission is one of the things that Jesus wants us to do, he taught his disciples to do. You know, we're shaped here, we're shaped in the church, we grow kind of in the bounded way so that we can be centered, so we can take that message out. We can be little wells in the world. Discipleship is a going thing. It's a message, it's a moving. It's humbling, it's messy, we don't know what's going on. They may not like that at Shot Crunch. She might have to take that down. I don't know. You know, sometimes things aren't always accepted. We have to work within the rules and the structures that we have. There's no glory in this, really, you know. There's little ways of connecting that make a big difference. I happen to believe that this is exciting work. That this is why we want to get up in the morning and go to work, is to be able to bring little things like this in that make big differences. It's life-changing, it's transforming, it's freeing, it's a healing, it's alive. It conveys something of what we know of Jesus into a wider world. Who knows where that goes, you know, where it's going to stop. So we're called to be sent on this mission. That's what it is to be the mission church, church on a mission, church in the world. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for this time that brings us together so that we can move out in our own ways, in the ways that you call us and encourage us to support one another in being the church in the world. Help us to be that, to do that, to know what that means in our own individual lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.